The most unique show in sports.
I'm going to say something now that some may take as a hot take, and I don't really care because I know that I'm right.
A show so staggeringly awesome and unapologetically original, you won't know what hit you.
Do you ever just get down on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia?
Featuring the man himself, Nick Kostos.
For anyone else, he's exaggerating, he's prisoner of the moment. First off, shut up. This is the National Football League. This is not the Big 12. It's not Pop Warner. An absolute disgrace. An atrocity. An affront. One of the most disgraceful performances that I have ever seen in 35 years watching National Football League football.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, magnificent Football Monday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports as we bring you the fastest show in all of sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And on this magnificent Football Monday, the world of sports is alive following an unbelievable wild card weekend in the National Football League, and we still got one more game coming up tonight. And over the course of the next 3 hours here on this Monday on Westwood One Sports, we will talk about all the big storylines coming out of wild card weekend and get you, dear listener, you, dear viewer, set to bet and be smart when you speak about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans coming up tonight on Monday Night Football. And among the topics on today's show, I will tell you why the Buffalo Bills, not the New England Patriots, the Patriots are the favorite right now at BetMGM to win the AFC. I'm going to tell you why it needs to be Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills as the favorite to represent the AFC in Super Bowl 60. I'm going to explain to all of you what the Philadelphia Eagles need to do in response to yesterday's embarrassing loss at home to the San Francisco 49ers that ended their season. And I'm going to tell all of you why. And I'm going to say it in such a way that you won't be able to disagree with me. Why the Philadelphia Eagles need to trade A.J. Brown, and they need to do it now. Maybe not like right now during the playoffs, but as soon as they can get A.J. Brown off this team. There's more that the Eagles need to do. We will get to that, and we will praise Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. All the bets for tonight will close the show in the final hour, the Power Hour, and we'll be joined by two tremendous guests, my buddy Dave Damashek from Football America as part of Meadowlark Media. Love Damashek. He will join us next hour on the show to talk his Steelers tonight against the Texans and all things Wild Card Weekend. And in the final hour of the show, one of my buddies in the space, one of the most talented members of the sports betting content space or otherwise, Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN sports betting analyst. Joe will stop by in the final hour of the show. We're probably going to talk a little professional wrestling, and then 95% of the interview will be about sports and bets for the divisional round and the weekend, but Joe is a man of many talents, and we will speak to Joe about a variety of things coming up in the final hour, the Power Hour of the show. But we officially begin Magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet with this piece of audio from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur following the team's collapse on Saturday night against the Chicago Bears.
Well, obviously, this one is going to hurt for a really, really long time. You know, when you are in complete control of a football game and the script gets flipped in the second half, and it was a lot of self-inflicted things. And you know, give credit to them. We knew they were a team that could come back and fight. I mean, they proved it all season long, and we had opportunities to kind of put them away, and we didn't get it done.
No, they didn't get it done. The Green Bay Packers led 21-3 at halftime on Saturday night in Chicago at Soldier Field against the Bears. The Green Bay Packers led 21-6 at the end of the third quarter on Saturday night in Soldier Field against the Chicago Bears. Final score, Bears 31, Packers 27. One of the biggest choke jobs and collapses that we've seen on Wild Card Weekend, maybe since my New York Football Giants on January 4th, 2003 against the San Francisco 49ers, 38-14 to 39-38. And Matt LaFleur, and I talked about it all day yesterday on the shows that I did on Sunday, on Wild Card Sunday, WFAN at 8 a.m., Westwood One Sports 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Matt LaFleur authored one of the worst second-half coaching performances that I have ever seen in almost four decades watching the National Football League. And I said yesterday, and I tweeted on Saturday night, and I told you in this time slot during the week, last week, that if the Green Bay Packers were to lose, they could very well fire Matt LaFleur. And my opinion yesterday was the Green Bay Packers would fire Matt LaFleur, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you think it should happen or not. My thought was, he's gone. And then we got the tweet yesterday from ESPN's Adam Schefter in the morning that John Harbaugh looming as the next potential head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and connecting the dots, Harbaugh's connections to the Packers organization and connections to the state of Wisconsin. And it seemed like a fait accompli, a veritable lock, if you will, that Matt LaFleur was going to be out of a job. And now we have a tweet from 20 minutes ago in real time from ESPN's Adam Schefter. And I quote, "The Packers now are expected to try to work out a deal in the coming days to keep head coach Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, per sources." Schefter would add a few minutes later, "Matt LaFleur currently has 1 year remaining on his contract, and both sides want clarity moving forward." Now look, this is like that scene in Anchorman. Like, we love an anchor battle. I love a good insider battle. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media then tweeted, "As Ian Rappaport, the NFL Media NFL insider, reported 2 days ago," which is a clear shot at Schefter here, right? "The Packers are expected to try and work out a deal to keep Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Other teams with vacancies are watching closely. LaFleur would immediately become a top candidate for jobs if he becomes available." Now, Schefter did add, and again, the last line of his second tweet is, "Both sides want clarity moving forward." Nothing is a lock. It doesn't have to work. But per Schefter, it feels like there is going to be at least an effort made here by Ed Policy, who's the Packers team president, the son of Carmen Policy, used to run the 49ers, and Brian Gutekunst, the GM, and Matt LaFleur, to keep LaFleur in Green Bay with the Packers. And I can't say I disagree with this from a Green Bay Packer perspective. Now, I did say last week that I expected the Packers to move on from LaFleur if they lost the game. But I stopped short of saying that this is what the Packers need to do. I never said that. I did say the Ravens need to fire John Harbaugh if they lose to the Steelers, which they did last Sunday night. They fired John Harbaugh. I did say that the Buffalo Bills need to fire Sean McDermott if they lose in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. They didn't. And they will move on to face the Denver Broncos next week in what should be an awesome game. We'll talk about that later in the show. I never said the Packers should fire Matt LaFleur. I said I think the Packers will fire Matt LaFleur. And that still may happen. It feels like that is very much still a realistic outcome, is the Packers moving on for Matt LaFleur. But it feels like there will at least be a concerted effort to keep Matt LaFleur as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And I would certainly understand anyone in our listening audience, anyone in our viewing audience right now, youtube.com/@TheKostos, our new YouTube page, listening on radio stations nationwide, listening on SiriusXM 375, watching us on Twitch, Odyssey app, Westwood One Sports app. Oh, hell yeah, we're everywhere. I would understand if anyone out there listening or watching wanted or believed that the Packers should fire Matt LaFleur. Because what happened in the second half on Saturday night was as bad as it gets. Like, we can call a spade, and we can be honest. And yes, you can put some blame on the right foot of curtain jerking jabroni slappy kicker Brandon McManus, missing two field goals and an extra point in a game the Packers lost by four. You can put some of the blame on the Packers pass catchers, most notably Jaden Reed for that drop on the final drive of the game for Green Bay, dropping passes, letting Jordan Love down at points during the game. And you can certainly put some blame on the defense for allowing 25 points in the fourth quarter to an offense that up until that point had been impotent. Jeff Hafley, some of the shine off Jeff Hafley a little bit, the Packers defensive coordinator, following that fourth quarter collapse against the Chicago Bears. So yes, McManus, pass catchers, defense, all deserve blame. Matt LaFleur blew the game. Let's be real. Matt LaFleur blew the game. I'm going to paraphrase what Jordan Love said postgame. He didn't say it like this, obviously. But what Jordan Love basically said was, we, meaning the Packers, didn't adjust to the Bears' adjustments in the second half. Because going into halftime, Green Bay had complete control of this game. Up 21-3, looked like the Bears wouldn't going to be able to stop them the entire game. And then all of a sudden, in the second half, the Bears' defense goes from the 2025 Chicago Bears. They go back in time 40 years. And they're the 85 Chicago Bears. And the Packers can do nothing for the vast majority of the final 30 minutes of this game. Think about this. And I'd love for someone to disagree with this. Dennis Allen, who I think is an excellent defensive coordinator, but a failure as a head coach in the NFL with the Oakland Raiders and the New Orleans Saints. Dennis Allen outcoached Matt LaFleur over the final 30 minutes of this game, and it wasn't even a fair fight. LaFleur never adjusted to the Bears' adjustments. LaFleur was not aggressive enough early and then way too aggressive late instead of bleeding the clock. And his timeout usage, I've said this before, and it's not just LaFleur. Lots of great coaches and bad coaches have this problem. You could take a stoned college sophomore playing Madden with Cheeto dust on his fingers, and that kid could manage the clock and timeouts better than some of these NFL head coaches. Matt LaFleur blew this game for the Green Bay Packers. Full stop, period, end of story. I also don't think the Packers should fire Matt LaFleur. I want to offer some perspective here on LaFleur. And in order to do that, let's go back to the summer. When we're talking about Green Bay, we're getting set for the 2025 NFL season. And what I said about the Green Bay Packers at the time, I don't think they've got the horses to make a legitimate run at the Super Bowl. They don't have enough great players. They have a bunch of good to very good players. Show me the great players. I didn't believe in Green Bay. And then they trade for Micah Parsons. And it changes everything for the Green Bay Packers. Because now you have that gravitational force on the defensive side of the ball. The guy that can go out there and can win you close games. That is built, constructed in a laboratory for moments like what we saw on Saturday night to win the game in a big spot, to sack Caleb Williams, to sack the best quarterbacks, to impact the game in the big spot. Parsons changed everything. And then he tears his ACL in Denver against the Broncos. Think about what I said following that. Cross the Packers off the list. Green Bay can't win. They can't win without Parsons. They don't have enough talent. It's not there. Now, the Packers got to the playoffs, should have won, obviously, on Saturday night against the Bears. Even if they did, it would be a temporary stay of execution because they would have gotten stuffed into a locker by the Seahawks in Seattle next weekend. Still, the Packers should have won that game. But now, as Green Bay heads into next season, obviously, you get Micah Parsons back in full health. We'll see if he's ready for week one, when Micah Parsons will be able to come back and play for the Green Bay Packers. But another offseason of loading up for what should be a season with super expectations in 2026, I like the idea of bringing back Matt LaFleur. And just on the John Harbaugh thing with Green Bay, now, I'm connecting dots when I talk about it, right? Something that I think could happen. Would I fire Matt LaFleur for John Harbaugh? I wouldn't do that. I'm also the guy, and I'm staying consistent, that's telling you as a Giants fan, I'd rather have Kevin Stefanski as my coach than John Harbaugh. So if I'd rather have Kevin Stefanski than John Harbaugh, yeah, I'd rather have Matt LaFleur than John Harbaugh. At least Matt LaFleur calls plays, and he's the offensive mastermind of that operation. I think this is the right move by the Green Bay Packers. I didn't think that this is the direction they'd move in, but do I think the Packers are making the right call by potentially keeping Matt LaFleur and signing him to an extension? I do. And I didn't think it would happen. It is kind of crazy, even with all of that being said, right, and we're doing this in real time, that he might get a multi-year extension following that stinker on Saturday night. I think that the clearer heads are going to prevail here. The cooler heads will prevail. I think it's a really good move by the Green Bay Packers. And now there are a bunch of dominoes that will fall as a result, as it regards the coaching carousel. Now, we don't know that LaFleur staying in Green Bay. This could still not work out. And if that happens, you know, maybe Matt LaFleur goes to coach the Miami Dolphins, who just hired the Packers vice president of player personnel, John Eric Sullivan, to be their new GM. Maybe he goes to Tennessee to work with Cam Ward. He was the Titans offensive coordinator before becoming the head coach of the Packers. Maybe he goes to Atlanta to work for Matt Ryan, who he used to coach with the Atlanta Falcons. And then maybe John Harbaugh goes to Green Bay. And if that happens, there's a name that I want everybody to think about right now as it regards NFL head coaching vacancies. And this tweet yesterday, I feel like, because there's so much else going on and there was a sick weekend of games and it was great, that this tweet kind of flew a little bit under the radar. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport tweeted yesterday on Sunday that Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame head coach, well, you know, the head coach of Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, who declared a couple weeks ago that he was coming back to Notre Dame and he was not going to coach, not entertain offers to coach in the National Football League, that Marcus Freeman could be back on the NFL radar. And to me, what that meant, and I have no sourcing here, and I can be wrong about this, was the New York Football Giants, who were reportedly interested in Freeman in the calendar year 2025, thinking that, man, we may not get John Harbaugh now if LaFleur is going to be out in Green Bay. And maybe we should make a renewed pitch for Marcus Freeman. And Marcus Freeman's camp knows that, and they leak, Marcus Freeman's camp leaks, that maybe he's still interested in an effort to drive the price up for him to leave Notre Dame. Because in order for Marcus Freeman to leave Notre Dame, entering a season where they have basically, it has come out that they have basically rigged it with whatever, like the note of memorandum or the note of understanding, whatever the hell it's called, this legalese, this nonsense, that they have basically legally rigged it that Notre Dame can't miss the playoff anymore. That in order for Marcus Freeman to leave Notre Dame, like you probably have to write him a pretty hefty check. And maybe it happens. We shall see. I think that we are looking at right now, over the course of the next couple weeks, it's possible that it's very calm, right? That the waters are calm and the Bills keep winning and McDermott keeps his job and Matt LaFleur stays and John Harbaugh just goes to the Giants. It's possible that the waters remain calm. But it's also possible that we get, in a gloriously entertaining way, the most chaotic NFL coaching carousel in recent memory. Look, you get breaking news sometimes on the show, and you got to do it to lead. Was not planning on leading with Matt LaFleur, but we get that news right before we go on the air. We are going to get to all the games from Wild Card Weekend. I got to praise the Chicago Bears. That was going to be part of the Matt LaFleur conversation, was talking Chicago, and then we got this news. I'm going to talk about the Buffalo Bills and their win against the Jacksonville Jaguars and why and how Josh Allen became Superman. We'll get into what was one of the worst broadcasts I've ever seen of an NFL playoff game in that game as well. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Eagles and Niners, Rams over Panthers, Patriots over Chargers, and so much more. On the other side, why the Philadelphia Eagles need to trade A.J. Brown and why they need to do it now. Here on a Monday, you better you bet, Nick Costos, Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM.
It's 11 over the middle, tip, incomplete! San Francisco takes over, looking to take away the upset!
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady with the call yesterday on Fox. What a hideous loss by the Philadelphia Eagles. An embarrassing end to their quest to repeat as Super Bowl champions. And a sterling, stellar, spectacular win for the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. Unbelievable stuff. What a sporting event yesterday in Philadelphia. And we'll break that game down coming up in just a moment. But didn't get the chance to do this in the opening segment because of the breaking news. And again, Packers trying to work out an extension to keep Matt LaFleur as the head coach moving forward in Green Bay. I told you why I think that's the right decision for the Packers to make. Not a lock that it happens. Still think he could end up elsewhere. But that seems to be the direction that things are trending towards right now, if you believe the reports from various NFL insiders. But I told you last week that heading into today, Monday, January 12th, this show would have one sole home on YouTube. We had multiple last week on the old BetMGM network page. That network no longer exists. The sole home to watch the show on YouTube right now, youtube.com/@TheKostos, youtube.com/@THEKOSTOS. And the chat was supremely active last week, and we love all the comments that we get in the YouTube chat. Want to read a couple now off the opening segments on the Packers-Bears game and the Matt LaFleur news. Our friend Derek Wagner: imagine what happens when Dennis Allen, the Bears defensive coordinator, gets a pass rusher next year to come after the quarterback. Matt LaFleur is going to be in trouble. Tough to disagree with that take, Derek, after what we saw on Saturday night. Our buddy Mark Summers says Matt LaFleur being on the staff of two of the biggest ever fourth quarter playoff collapses should be legacy defining. The other, of course, would be Super Bowl 51 with the Falcons yakking it away against the New England Patriots. Our friend Sports Wager: we only want to hear from Bear Down Bill Zimmerman, our executive producer. Well, don't you worry, because Bill may be leaving us to go to the Bears game this weekend. That is a true story. We shall see. I can tell you from our text conversation on Saturday night, Bill and the rest of the Bears fans, like Kenny Henderson, in ecstasy following this game on Saturday night. At Sage Shamrock 3485, Matt LaFleur should get the chop. Packers bottled that game. Sounds like a soccer fan. And M. Blazing thinks the Bears might have used AI to change the game plan going into the fourth. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was brilliant from the Chicago Bears. YouTube.com/@TheKostos, THEKOSTOS. The Philadelphia Eagles need to trade A.J. Brown, and they need to do it as soon as possible. Now that it's reached its conclusion, you know, because I thought the Eagles were going to win yesterday. I thought that they were going to beat the Bears next weekend if they played. I thought they would beat the Rams in the NFC Championship game and beat the Bills in Super Bowl 60. And even with all of that being said, like, I thought the Eagles were going to win, this was not exactly a fun season in Philadelphia. And I even described the Eagles' win against the Bills on the first edition of this show in the new time slot on Monday, December 29th, as being the Eagles having this unbelievable ability to win games and infuriate their fan base in the process, despite the fact that they win. So now that it's over, and there's no game next week, and there's no, well, the talent on the roster's still there, and Fangio's this great defensive coordinator, and they're the defending champs. Now that there's no game next week, we can say what a disappointing and miserable season this actually was for the Eagles. And it's one thing for a star player like A.J. Brown to be as dramatic as he is, while acknowledging, and hear me out, A.J. Brown is not a good wide receiver. He's a great wide receiver. He's one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Period. No debate. No one's saying he's not great. He's phenomenal. But if you're going to be as dramatic and petulant as he's been, and whether or not he has legitimate reason to feel that way, you have to be a professional and comport yourself in a professional way. And he has not done that. Whether it's passive-aggressive comments to the media, like you're dealing with a teenager, or cryptic posts on social media on Instagram, like a jilted lover. Like when I used to be involved in relationship heartbreak, and I would post like song quotes on Twitter, like an absolute loser. Like AJ Brown's got all the cryptic stuff on Instagram. Reading self-help books on the sideline during games. Joying with the head coach, joying with the quarterback. You can do that. And you can get away with it. If your team wins. And if you show up in the big spots. Last year, AJ Brown was dramatic. And he was petulant. And the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So who cares? And my thought most of this season talking about AJ Brown was, I don't care about any of this stuff. Because I still think they're going to win. And I have faith that he'll show up in a big spot. And yesterday, against the San Francisco 49ers, he no-showed in the big spot and had a couple different opportunities to make game-changing plays on good throws from Jalen Hurts and was unable to pull them in, off his hands, to the ground, incomplete. Jawing with his head coach on the sideline, Nick Sirianni. Like, enough of this. Like, what? Doesn't take any questions from the media and bounces after the game. And like, I'm not trying to turn this into, you have to respect the media. That's not what this is. But it's a pattern of behavior that, again, you can get away with if you play well and if you win. But if you're going to no-show and if your team's going to lose, then what's the point of all of this? Now that it's over and there's no more games to be played and there's no more rationalizing it and spinning it forward, we can say that the Philadelphia Eagles are rotten. That the culture is rotten with this team. And if you're going to have designs on getting back to the playoffs next year, winning a third straight NFC East, making a run at another Super Bowl, you got to do something. You got to change the culture a little bit. And he's got to go. He did great. You won your championship. And you can never take down the banner. Never. And all of the nonsense this season was worth it for the Super Bowl. All the nonsense will be worth it for another 5 years since you won the one championship. But moving forward, this can't go on. Jalen Hurts isn't going anywhere. You just signed him to the huge deal. He won Super Bowl MVP less than 12 months ago. He's not going anywhere. Nick Sirianni shouldn't be going anywhere, and I don't think he will. He just won the Super Bowl. AJ Brown's the big move that has to be made. And he'll have no shortage of suitors. Maybe he ends up with his old coach Mike Vrabel in New England next year. Maybe it's Josh Allen and the Bills. We'll see. And he'll probably put up huge numbers. He's great. And whether or not it's his fault that this season didn't go the way he wanted it to, or a lot of people, including me, who bet the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. It went the way he did. It did. He acted the way he did. And that's it. And now he's got to go. And so too, You Better You Bet on this Monday. Nick Costos here with you on Westwood One Sports. So too does Kevin Petullo. When we look back on it, you know, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 15 years from now, I think that we'll look back on the 1 year because there's no way he's coming back. And if he does, like, there should be a federal investigation as to why. Like, why Kevin Petullo keeps on as the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. He's going to get fired, and he should be fired. And, like, I'm not into, like, calling for people to lose their jobs, but let's be honest. This guy can't come back. He can't with how it went this season. Kevin Petullo has to go, and there's a case to be made. He should have to stand trial. These are crimes, football crimes against humanity. He should have to stand trial before Nicolas Maduro for what the Eagles offense turned into. This bastardized version of an offense. It was offensive. You can't have this. He's got to go. And if you're Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, you're Nick Sirianni, the head coach, I don't know how you're not on the phone with Mike McDaniel right now to try and bring him in as the new offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. You can't have this. So just to sum up the Eagles and their season here, is it a disaster now that it's over? Now can we say that? Yes. To lose as a big favorite, and how about all that steam on Philadelphia in the betting market? Out from 3.5 to 6. San Fran outright. Unfortunately, closing line value doesn't pay for groceries. Because if it did, let me tell you, my refrigerator would be absolutely stocked. Yes, it's a disaster. But you also won the Super Bowl the year before. So it's worth it. You can deal with it, I believe, if you're an Eagles fan. Which I'm not, but just saying. That would be my advice, the Eagles fans. You just won. But now changes have to be made. And I believe they will. As for the San Francisco 49ers, I really feel dumb, which is like a fairly normal feeling for me, if I'm being honest. Just being real. I feel like an idiot for looking past the San Francisco 49ers heading into this game. Because for me, I felt like San Fran's kind of got no chance. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. That they're the walking wounded. The defense doesn't have enough horses. And the Eagles are way more talented. And what we got yesterday in Philly was an absolute masterclass by Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. Consider this. All the excuses that we in the media and that NFL fans in general will make for teams that suffer injuries. George Kittle blew out his Achilles during yesterday's game, which is a horrible injury for what, by all accounts, is one of the good guys in the NFL. That happens during the game. There are a lot of teams and offenses and coaching staffs that would just fold, like you fold in that moment. On the road in a spot like that, losing a player, the heart and soul of your team, one of the hearts and souls of the team, like George Kittle. So Kittle, obviously, is done for the rest of the year. A 32, who knows when he'll be back. They lost Nick Bosa earlier in the year for the year. Maybe Fred Warner will come back, but they lost him for the vast majority of the season. So with Kittle, Warner, and Bosa, these are three Hall of Fame, Canton-caliber players that the Niners lost. No one makes excuses. They keep on trucking. Keep on winning games. Here's my question for everybody. If you traded Kyle Shanahan for Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo, so Shanahan is coaching the Eagles yesterday and calling the plays for the Eagles, and Sirianni and Petullo are calling the plays and running the offense for the 49ers, who wins the game? Who wins? Kyle Shanahan will beat you with his team? And he could also beat you with your team. And as I think about it, like, because he's not going to win Coach of the Year. He's not, because they lost in the final game of the season to Seattle. He's not going to win Coach of the Year. He is the Coach of the Year, though. And I'm not saying that he should win the award, just saying, like, he's the best coach in the NFL this season. Period. And the fact that he doesn't have a Super Bowl, and I don't think he's going to win it this year, again, like, I think there's too many injuries. And Brock Purdy was terrible in the game yesterday, and they still won. You can make a case that right now, in the history of the National Football League, Kyle Shanahan and Marv Levy are atop the list of best coaches to not win a Super Bowl championship. I put him above Marty Schottenheimer, Dan Reeves, Don Coryell, Bud Grant. It's Shanahan and it's Marv Levy. That's the list. Best coaches to never win a championship. Now, I don't know if the Niners are going to win coming up on Saturday in Seattle against the Seahawks. That will mark 2 weeks to the day that the Seahawks shove them into a locker in Week 18 to win the NFC West and claim home field advantage. But here's what I do know. Seattle's a touchdown favorite. Count out Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers at your own risk. I made that mistake yesterday against the Eagles. I don't think I'm going to make it this weekend going into Seattle to take on Mike McDonald and the Seahawks. We'll take a quick break here on this magnificent Football Monday, and on the other side, why the Buffalo Bills should be the favorite to win the AFC, and why I think Josh Allen finally gets to his first Super Bowl here on You Better You Bet.
That would match his career long as 68-yard attempt. Ball's intercepted. The game is over as Cole Bishop gets it off the rebound.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Jim Nance and Tony Romo with the call yesterday on CBS. We'll get to one of the worst big game NFL broadcasts that I've ever watched with the Bills and the Jaguars yesterday on CBS. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but we need to tell you about our show sponsor at BetMGM, because the pro football playoffs are finally here, and BetMGM's giving you a way to make every snap even bigger. Activate today's pro football odds boost token on any pro football bet, and if your pick hits, you're looking at an even bigger payout. Simple as that. Download the BetMGM app. Visit BetMGM.com to make it legendary. And as always, please gamble responsibly. So that interception by Cole Bishop in the final minute of the Bills-Jaguars game yesterday in Duval clinched it for the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo wins 27-24. And my handicap of that game was simple. If Josh Allen is Josh Allen, and he puts on the Superman cape, the Bills are going to win. Because while Jacksonville is the better team, and I said it, Jacksonville is a better team overall than Buffalo, Buffalo has the great equalizer. Buffalo has the best quarterback. Buffalo has Josh Allen. And Josh Allen in this game yesterday against Jacksonville was a tough son of a bitch. How many different injuries did he sustain just in the course of that 60-minute football game? Concussion, broken. It's like Kurt Angle in 1996 at the Olympics, winning the gold medal with a broken freaking neck. It's unreal from Josh Allen. Like the knight from Monty Python. Missing a leg, concussion, like a broken arm. Doesn't matter. Carries his team over the finish line and carries them to victory. And I'm thinking as I'm watching the game, and like, you know, the Jaguars take the lead a couple times in the fourth. This was a really good football game marred by what was just a weird and bad broadcast. And I'm thinking, right, as the camera keeps showing Josh Allen on the bench as the Jaguars score touchdowns to take the lead in what was a topsy-turvy fourth quarter. It made me think, and I'm not a huge fan of this show. I like the first couple seasons. But like in The Walking Dead, for anyone that's ever watched that show, like the character Negan, right, who's the guy with the baseball bat. I think he's described his backstory as being like he worked at like a car dealership or something. He was just like a regular person. And then the zombie apocalypse happens, and he looks around and goes, now I'm the baddest guy on the block. Like, everybody else is gone, why not me? And it feels to me like this is now Josh Allen. Because, and just jog your mental Rolodex for a second here, you the listener, you the viewer, and think about the games that Josh Allen has lost in the past in the postseason. Most notably, of course, to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, although lost one, obviously, to Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and one to the Texans early on in his career as well, to Deshaun Watson, where in the games against the Chiefs, when Patrick Mahomes would do something sensational and the Chiefs would take the lead, the camera would show Josh Allen on the bench. And look, like, he performed more often. He was really good in those games. It's just that I don't think he's as good as Mahomes. And I still think that he's not as good as Mahomes. Who cares? Mahomes isn't in the playoffs, and he is. And Allen would have that look on his face. And again, like, I would encourage you, the listener and viewer, to form your own opinion here. Do you disagree with what I'm saying right now, or am I right? That the camera would show Josh Allen, and he would have that look on his face like, oh my God. Like, oh bleep, I gotta go out-duel this guy again? Like, we're losing again to this guy? And yesterday, every single time the Jaguars would take the lead, Trevor Lawrence would throw a touchdown, we'll get to Trevor Lawrence, the camera would show Josh Allen, and he would be expressionless. emotionless. Like in this moment, as he looks around and surveys the landscape of the American Football Conference, and he doesn't see Joe Burrow, and he doesn't see Lamar Jackson, and most importantly, he doesn't see the boogeyman. Number 15 in red, the final boss, Patrick Mahomes. It's as if he knows in this moment that he's the man. That he is now like a football robot constructed to break your spirit and steal your soul. Like this is Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. Rip your heart out and show it to you still beating. And that's what happened. Was it Josh Allen's most noteworthy statistical game? No, it wasn't. 28 for 35, 273 yards and a touchdown. 11 carries, 33 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's had better statistical games. He's had flashier games. That might be the best game he's played. He was unbelievable. Made every play that needed to be made and carried the Buffalo Bills to their first road playoff win since the 1990s. Incredible. Incredible from Josh Allen. Now this morning, and we'll get to the Patriots and the Chargers as the show moves along, New England is the favorite to win the AFC at BetMGM. Now, a slight favorite, and it makes sense because they'll be a bigger favorite than the Bills are next weekend, right? And the Patriots would host the Bills if they played in the AFC Championship game. The Bills need to be the favorite. And if they're not, I have bet them. I have them at exactas. I told you last week I think they're going to win the AFC. I don't know if they're going to win the Super Bowl. If they have to run into the Rams, I don't think that'll go well for Buffalo. But yeah, I do think they're going to win the AFC. Because they have Josh Allen. And other teams don't. As of right now, Buffalo is a 1.5-point favorite in Denver this weekend. The one seed Denver Broncos, AFC West champion Denver, home field advantage Denver. Denver has Bo Nix. Buffalo has Josh Allen. And I don't care really about anything else. Now, you're out there listening or watching, and you think maybe you're a Broncos fan, a Broncos better, a Patriots fan, a Patriots better, a Steelers fan, a Steelers better, a Texans fan, a Texans better. And you think, well, Bills defense, run defense isn't good. We'll talk about how Jacksonville screwed this up. And he doesn't have any weapons. Whatever. That was the case yesterday also. And they won. Because they have number 17. And y'all pay homage to the man. Woo! Give me the Bills to beat the Broncos in Denver. And advance to the AFC Championship game. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. We'll be joined by Dave Damashek from Football America. We'll keep on breaking down wild card weekends, including what the Jacksonville Jaguars did to screw up the game, coming up next.